Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, February 3rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, at ALA Jr., and joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes. Tim.
What's up? Let Tim host.
How are you feeling? Doing?
Fantastic. Actually, nice. My voice is gone a little bit. I don't
all
know
that
why.
Cheering from the Super Bowl?
Maybe, I guess. You know what I mean? That MCU commercial.
Oh, man. That was something else. Legit,
it was something else.
I'm not a big football person. Like, I'll follow football, and like I'll watch football and understand what's going on. I'll get excited for the Super Bowl. But, you know, yesterday I wasn't really too into it, despite it being the 49ers and me being in San Francisco. But I just got here, so it's hard for me to really like connect.
You can't
to
get on
like
the bandwagon
that.
Yet.
I got to wait about a year or two before I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go, 49ers. But, dude, as soon as that commercial came on, edge of my seat. No, the thing is, I was watching it with actual football fans.
Yeah.
And so everybody else was like hyped for everything. And like it was that one moment where I was like, everybody shut up.
We will be doing a reaction to it in between this and in review later. So
nice. How's your Super Bowl?
It was fun, man. I ended up watching with Andy, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Because
for most of it, it was just me, Andy, and Kevin watching it. And things would happen, and Andy would be like, okay, so this is why this matters. And like, I feel like I learned a lot about football yesterday. But
really?
The funniest thing was, obviously, I'm from San Francisco, so like I'm rooting for the 49ers.
Mm.
Not that I give a fuck, but my friends give so much of a fuck. And like my poor friend, James Perk, he just needs his life. His life needs some wins. And I feel like this was the win he needed, and he didn't get it. He did not get it at all. But what was funny is because I was with Andy, Andy was semi-rooting for the Chiefs, and I was just like, why, you traitor bitch? Like, you're here. What's your problem? And he gave us the whole backstory of the coach and all this stuff. And I was just like, oh, man, you know, I kind of want the Chiefs to win.
Then
when the Chiefs won, and you see the coach, like, Dr. Robotnik looking ass, like, just getting Gatorade dunked on him. I was like, you know what? There is good in the world.
The Chiefs coach looked a little bit like the diabetes guy, right? Was that the one? You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Barry, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
There's a thread on Twitter. Okay. If you go to whoever the diabetes guy is, you know the commercial, right? The guy who, like, he's looking in the camera, he's talking about diabetes. It's the only diabetes thing.
Dude, what are you talking about?
You guys don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
I feel like you're making something up to, like, make Tim and
no,
I feel not
No, this is a
cool.
widely known thing, the diabetes guy.
No.
He's like, diabetes.
I just... Okay.
That's what he's like.
That's what he's like.
Dude, I totally
Holy
understand.
Shit. Yo.
Thank you. Thank you. Isn't that him? Doesn't
it
that
is.
Look like
it
him?
It does definitely look like him.
Yeah. Anyway, look up the Kansas City coach and then look up the diabetes guy.
Diabetes,
and tell me that I'm lying. Tell me. Today's stories include a platinum rumor, a platinum tease, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames or bronze members or above, get to write in, and silver members or above, get the show ad free. Now it's time for some housekeeping, and I'm looking at the doc right now, and I have one bullet point who I don't know who added this, but it says that I should use my epic esports announcer voice. Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, are you ready to get locked and loaded? I don't have an epic voice. I'm sorry.
I don't either, but I feel like you need to add a bit more like douchebag to it. I got the douche.
I mean, do you want to go for it?
I got this, man.
Do it.
Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington. Are you ready to get locked and loaded? Andy Nitro Rifle Cortez will be in town February 8th and 9th for the opening day of Overwatch League Season 3. There will be panels, activities, meet and greets, and much, much more. Buy your tickets now at dallasfuel.com and get ready to burn blue.
That was great. That was amazing.
I wish my voice wasn't fucked up. I feel like I could have really hit that a little bit better. But you know what, guys? That's what you get this Monday, this beautiful Monday.
Yeah, if you're interested in that, check that out. I don't know who added that to the doc, but...
somebody.
Yeah, somebody added that. I don't know who. Thank to our Patreon producers. Now, here's the thing. I don't have the names yet. I know for a fact there are Patreon producers this month because last month was our big push, but I don't have the names yet.
Greg Miller is trying to figure them all out as we speak. Joey Noel, I went this morning, knocked on her door. And I was like, hey, Joey, do you want to ride? And all I heard... some Z's. I heard some Z's. I heard some capital Z's. Back forth. You know what I mean?
That's what happens when you're watching
Greg
the Super
Miller's
Bowl
coming in. He has some updates.
I don't know where we are on the show. Where are we at the show?
Patreon producers?
Perfect. Yeah, are we ready?
Woo!
Yeah. So Joey Noel can't get her butt out of bed after partying her ass off, Woo! Watching the Oscar-winning Suicide Squad nominated. So when I won. It won. Oscar-winning Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So I have your Patreon producers for the first time ever for Kinda Funny Games Daily for the month of February 2020. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't think I screwed it up, but if I did, yell at Joey again.
I will.
Thank you. The nanobiologist. Shiraz Razak. Patrick Higgins. Travis Austin Gajowski. That looks like that didn't paste in right. Travis has three names. So I don't know about that business. Drew Garnier, Dominic Shorter, Ginny Burnt, Joseph Soler, Katie Gallagher, Mohammed, James Davis, David Mintel,
Mind Freak,
and Mohammed.
Wow.
I think I got it all. I think I did.
It's a world record.
So. Yeah, we'll see.
Thank you for your support in
January, man. We did our stream on Friday. We hit that 87K. We're doing an Xbox pilot. Good time to be alive.
We're also doing High School Musical, the musical, the series, the podcast. I'm very excited for it. Today, we're brought to you by Manscaped, Brooklinen, and Raid, Shadow Legends, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
Up it cares, just
starting with a doozy, an interesting one. Number one, what is Platinum Games up to?
A lot, man.
So I have this divided into 1A and 1B because there's multiple parts to the story. So let's start with part A, right?
That's very Japanese developer of you.
Wait, is that right? Make this story super complicated. 1A, the wonderful 101 might be coming to Nintendo Switch. This is by Vicky Blake of Games Radar.
And PlayStation 4.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's another problem. That's like
so that's another that's
wild,
another
crazy
There's so
part.
Many wrinkles to this story that I'm just like breaking it out. It looks like Platinum Games might be bringing the wonderful 101 to Nintendo Switch. Admittedly, it all stems from a very innocuous tweet, but a quick pic of Platinum's Hideki Kamiya on the studio's official Twitter account has kicked off a storm of speculation. Now, Barrett, I sent you a link to this tweet. Yeah, so whenever you're ready to bring that up, please bring that up. But it shows Kamiya sitting in front of a desktop PC with 101 in the corner. And that's like 101 o'clock. So like 1 o'clock, 1 minute in, if that makes sense. In the corner of the screen. Oh, and next to him is a Switch idly sitting by, too.
They know what they're doing.
And so it seems like a tease to me. While that alone doesn't tell us much, YouTube channel Game Explain believes an upcoming Kickstarter campaign, thought to be going live next week, wants to bring the wonderful 101 to Nintendo Switch, which would be a natural jump given the original launched on Wii U back in 2013. That said, there are also rumblings of a PlayStation 4 and possibly even an Xbox One port in the works, too. And to even lend more credence to that, Nibel on Twitter tweeted out, I think it was Friday, that the Platinum Kickstarter profile has also popped up as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of wrinkles, and here's the tweet pulled up for visual watchers, video watchers. Right. You got is Kamiya the guy in the red shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. You have Kamiya sitting in front of his computer with 101 in the corner, right? The time, right? Platinum in the background, and then a Switch just sitting right to the right side of him.
Yeah.
Tim Gettys, what does this mean?
You know, there's a lot here. Last Friday when this was all... Actually, I guess during the weekend is when this really started breaking.
Yeah.
But on Friday, I had a couple people DMing me. I had a couple homies that I have that run in circles that know these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, hey, you should stay tuned for Monday. Like things are going to be popping off. It seemed like they popped off a little earlier in the weekend, but those things weren't what I expected. Mm-hmm. I was expecting we might be getting some Nintendo Direct news or something, but they were just telling me, like, it's in my wheelhouse. So, mm-hmm. Nintendo, whatever. This makes sense. The confidence levels of all that, I was just like, all right, something's going on. And then for Game Explain to break this news, Game Explain rarely breaks news, mm-hmm. but when they do... It's because they're on to something, right? So I fully believe this is happening.
Frankfurter writes in and says, good morning, blessing, and Tim. It's rumored that Platinum Games will be turning to a Kickstarter-type program to fund publishing. The wonderful 101 on Switch and surprisingly PS4. With this title being originally released for Wii U at launch, do you think there is any hope of seeing Bayonetta 2 or 3 coming back to Sony, or is this just a one-off port? Thanks for all you do, Frankfurter.
I think that this story, without it being officially real yet, is already very telling.
Yes.
The Wonderful 101 should already be on the Nintendo Switch.
Yep.
The reason that it's not, there must be a reason that it's not. And I think that reason is that Nintendo doesn't see the value in that franchise in a way of wanting to keep it locked to them. In a way of like making sure that they're not going to fund the porting of this over to the Switch because they don't see the correct amount of dollar signs adding up for that project to be worth it. Mm. That's why Platinum would lean to Kickstarter to make this all happen.
Interesting.
Platinum one of the developers that are extremely proud of their games and make a diverse array of games and weird games too. So Wonderful 101 is that type of passion project that, you know, it's one of those things of if you played it, you loved it.
Mm.
You know, not that many people played it. Stuck on the Wii U. It was weird. There's a lot of stuff going into it, but there's a very, very hardcore niche fan base for it. How big is that fan base? Is that fan base even going to be enough to fund it via Kickstarter? Is this all right for a publisher like, or a developer like Platinum to be kickstarting a thing like this?
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into this. I think, absolutely, it's all right. This is a project that seemingly, and as you've seen over the last couple of years, wouldn't happen without that type of funding.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be very interested to see what that number looks like that they need and if they hit it.
Yeah, like Platinum is an independent developer, right? And so, like, you see games like Bayonetta 2, and I imagine Bayonetta 3, right, wouldn't happen without Nintendo publishing them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and Platinum even goes to, or partners with other bigger publishers to get their games made and get them out, right? Nier Automata was published by Square Enix, right? And so, like, for them, seeking funding for their games, I feel like, makes sense for an independent
I mean, it's
developer.
It's a necessity.
Yeah.
Like, it can't happen otherwise. Yeah, and that's why Bayonetta, I think, Nintendo wants wrapped around their fingers as much as possible.
Yeah. And I wouldn't put it past them to be like, okay, nobody wants to publish Wonderful 101 for us, but the fans, like, we can foresee fans wanting to have access to this game on current consoles, mm-hmm. and so let's seek publishing. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I could very much see that happening. 1B... So let's take this a little bit further, because you mentioned stuff happening today. And a thing did happen today, which is quite interesting. So this morning, Platinum Games is teasing something yet again. And this time, there's a website. This is from Alex Avard of GamesRadar. Platinum Games has launched a mysterious new website that's seemingly teasing the reveal of a new game from the creators of Bayonetta, Vanquish, and Nier Automata. Right now, the website just has the number 4 planted on its homepage, which Barrett has brought up for the video watchers, which spins around clockwise before the screen itself appears to briefly glitch. At the bottom, the phrase Platinum 4 site is now open. Features above today's date, suggesting we could expect more news before the sun sets. And so if you look, yeah, we have this 4 that glitches out at certain points. We have the today's date at the very bottom, Platinum 4 site.
I don't understand what leads this to believe by the end of the day we're going to get more.
I mean, that part I'm kind of iffy on, but I think the fact that it has today's date on it, which I don't necessarily think,
would it just change every day to the date? That's weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't make that jump. That could just mean that, like, yeah, today's the date they're teasing the thing. I wouldn't latch on to that. But the fact that they have this 4 website at least means something important is coming. They're teasing something.
What does it mean?
There are a few theories, right? And so the theory that I have currently is that, remember when Capcom had the Capcom 5?
Mm-hmm.
I think there could be like a Platinum 4 situation going on.
I think that that's the most likely thing too.
Yeah, where it
run
is.
Run through the theories though. What are the top thought things?
I mean, that's the main one I've kind of held on to. People have been throwing out random stuff on Twitter, like Dragon Guard 4 and like stuff like that, where I'm like, I don't know Dragon Guard enough to even know if they're on 4. Actually, I think it was Dragon Guard near Automata, so it would be 4. But stuff like that, where people are saying like, oh yeah, the 4th of whatever franchise. But this, what I'm latching onto is the idea of they've been in development for Bayonetta 3. They're developing Babylon's Fall. There could be a Nier sequel or remake, you know, in the works, or Dragon Guard sequel or remake in the works, right? And then Wonderful 101 port. So that's four games right there. They could be ramping up to announce and release all those games.
Interesting. I kind of doubt the Wonderful 101 port would be included in that,
mm-hmm.
if they're kickstarting it. But then, I don't know. They are just talking about ownership. The one thing, though, that throws me off of it being the 4 games is the way that the screen glitches out is very near. Right?
I can see that.
So it's like, that's hinting more so at near than the other games.
Mm-hmm.
You did say a near project could be one of those 4. But do you get what I'm saying, though? I feel like if they were going to tease 4 different things, it's either don't have any uniqueness or have 4 different things that hint at the 4 different projects.
I can see that.
But maybe every day it'll change. I don't know.
Yeah. And like the phrasing of Platinum 4, I feel like lends it to my thought that like maybe it's not just a near thing. Maybe it is like 4 different things, because they're phrasing it as Platinum. Mm-hmm. Right, which makes me think like, okay, yeah, they're more representing the studio than a particular game. But I could see it being a near thing. The thing is, I haven't played Dragon Guard or the first Nier. I don't know how much they have to do with like that sort of glitchy kind of style, you know, as Nier Automata does. It could maybe be a Nier Automata port to Nintendo Switch. Maybe that could be the thing, but I don't know how that would then relate to 4. So I have no idea, but yeah. I'm very interested.
I do think that, God, my fucking voice there. I think that it is 4 different projects that they're working on.
Yeah.
And I like that idea. I think it is cool when developers kind of like look at their libraries.
Yeah,
as,
like they have a catalog. And they're like, okay, yeah, we can represent ourselves as a whole brand.
Yeah,
yeah. And so, I'm into it. I could see it being like, you know, Capcom. The Capcom 5 released somewhat together, right?
They were like close enough. Close. I think it was like within a year.
Yeah, so I don't think it would be that for Platinum, because if they're just kickstarting Wonderful 101, then it wouldn't be on online or in tracked release with something like Babylon's Fall, which you've seen gameplay for.
I mean, here's the thing: it's a port, right? Mm-hmm. A port requires work, but it doesn't require from the ground up. You know what I mean? It's just like getting things over. And we've seen a lot of Wii U games be announced for Switch and come out within 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that they're going to require that long. You know?
Yeah, but where they're at with all their games is harder to believe. Like Babylon's Fall and Bayonetta 3, I could see possibly releasing, you know, close to each other, because Babylon's Fall we've seen quite a bit of gameplay for. That game seems like it's imminent. Bayonetta 3 was announced forever ago, and so
haven't seen it like make its re-reveal.
And it's
too long.
I have a prediction that game's coming out this fall. You know, and I could see that happening pretty easily for how long that game's been in development.
It doesn't seem like a fall game though. Like that mm-hmm. that's I feel like they've missed their window of what I feel like they would have wanted to have it out by spring. March this year. Yeah, like it feels like a March game. It feels like at latest May.
But I mean, Astral Chain released in August.
August, yeah.
Yeah, and so I feel like for them it might just be a thing of like when it's ready.
Hey, that's true. Ready. And Astral Chain did great.
Yeah,
sold way better than Platinum games normally do.
Yeah, and I think Bayonetta 2 put that franchise on the map even more. Like that game got like a 10 at GameSpot, and I remember that game being very well critically received. I don't know how well Bayonetta 2 sold. That was a Wii U exclusive, right?
Yeah,
and so maybe sales doesn't even come into
absolutely
the conversation. But like, I could see them being like, oh yeah, Bayonetta is such a big thing now that we're comfortable releasing maybe in August. You know, maybe like near fall, probably not like November, October, but
yeah, okay, August. I buy August.
Yeah, somewhere you around that time, over. Right? But like, if Wonderful 101, so with the theory that Babylon's Fall and Bayonetta are imminent, I don't think Wonderful 101 could get funded and released this year, right? I feel like it would take at least a year or so before that game.
I don't can think get out. So. Really? I don't think you can do that. I feel like you'll lose the zeitgeist of it. Like, it's not. Like, again, it's a smaller project. Like, it's a smaller mm-hmm. title in the grand scheme of things of relevancy. And I feel like you want to kind of, like, strike where the iron's hot and just, like, they'll know within days if they're going to hit there,
mm-hmm.
hit it or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But then also when we put in a Nier or Dragon Guard mm-hmm. remake or sequel into the mix, like, that feels like it's far off.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I could see
it's been a while since Nier, man.
I mean, Nier Automata was 2017. Then they ported it to Xbox, and I think 2018. And so, like, it's been a while, but there's so many projects that Platinum is working on that I could see them taking their time.
But they've always worked on a million projects. Yeah. You know, it's like I feel like a Nier sequel is it's inevitable. And I feel like they must have been working on it for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it is announced with this. And I don't think that they all need to be released month after month. You know, like I feel like give it an entire year to run with. And like a year from whenever they start would be like Nier next March?
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
My prediction is that we get like a Platinum 4 stream. And it is like four games that they're like, oh yeah, within the next few years, you're going to be getting these games from Platinum. And these are some of the biggest titles that you want from us.
Hmm.
And like, I don't think they necessarily need to release near each other, but I think near each other. But I think we'll at least get an announcement.
Interesting.
And I'm trying not to hype myself up too much because it could just be one game.
Yeah.
But
even that could be cool.
That could be cool too.
If that one game is the sequel.
Yeah. Bayonetta 4, we're skipping 3.
It's right? Fucking A.
That could be hype. All right, number 2. The Apex Season 4 trailer has dropped. It dropped as soon as we started this show. And guys, gals, everybody, very excited. Barry, I almost called you Bayonetta. Barry, if you can pull this up. We're going to watch it.
You're my little Bayonetta.
Hey, Bayonetta. We're going to watch it live here. Because I want to know what's going up with Forge. Actually, before we get into it, I'm going to preface this a bit. So yeah, what's been going on, right? This has been a running Games Daily thing, but they did their Season 4 dev stream where they showed off Forge. And I think me and Greg, you know, talked about it a little bit when they did that. And I was like, okay, seems all right. Seems pretty cool. But I wasn't like super excited about it. A few days later, they murder Forge. Revenant murders Forge, which then causes madness. A few days later, we get an animation of like a Revenant trailer, right? And here's the official gameplay trailer, which should lay things out for us. So Barrett, go ahead and click play. Hammond Robotics.
From the core systems to the outlands, Hammond Robotics has been at the forefront.
So Hammond Robotics
progress,
is from Titanfall.
Revolutionizing and innovating.
And Hammond Robotics is also, I think, sponsoring Forge.
Our new Hammond Robotics is committed to leading the outlands into the future.
This is the,
through extraordinary breakthrough solutions.
The current
in colonial
map.
Colonial manufacturing.
World's End.
Transportation. Security. And now introducing our advanced development in energy production and distribution. The Hammond Robotics Planet Harvester.
Huh.
Here at Hammond Robotics, the people of the Outlands are our number one priority.
Whoa.
Hammond Robotics.
So we're getting like robotic skins for Legends, it looks like.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Jesus.
So that's Revenant from the trailer.
Revenant's a meanie.
Yeah.
A
game changer. Dude, Revenant is sick. So yeah, it looks like he's definitely the new Legend. Being confirmed here.
Dude, that's how you show gameplay off with this.
New battle pass. Another oh my god. Wraith, perfect soldier skin. Life on health drain skin. Watson Cyberpunk. Revenant is the new Legend. No Forge, it looks like.
Sorry, what is Forge?
Forge was the Legend that they revealed.
Got it.
Originally, and then Revenant killed him. World's End Ravage. So a new form of World's End, it looks like.
Surprise!
It's gonna be the sniper.
Moving around in this game looks so cool.
Apex is... Have you played Apex?
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Like... These new skins are amazing. Alright. So yeah, coming February 4th, which is today. Tomorrow? Oh, it's tomorrow. Okay, that makes sense. Because I tried to pull it up today and I'm like, why can't I play the game?
Am I getting into back into Apex?
Dude,
Legends?
If you want to get back into Apex, I'm going to play some Apex.
Dude, I'm fucking...
Let's
down.
Do it.
Let's go.
I am very satisfied with everything I just saw.
Yeah?
Yeah, all those
Give me the top level highlights. Why? What got you going there?
So Apex is dope because, you know, when like Fortnite, right, they instead of doing new maps, Fortnite demolishes their map or like they demolish certain areas and replaces things in them to tweak them and make things interesting, right? PUBG just... They create new maps, you know, in order to replace old maps or in order to add to old maps. Apex kind of does both, which is a thing that I like. And so with King's Canyon, which was the first map for, I believe, season 2, they switched things up a bit and had like the dinosaurs that were like walking around the map, actually walking onto the map, and changed it that way. Right. And this is kind of their version for World's End, where now, like, I guess Hammond Robotics is doing a huge thing and kind of changing up the map in, I think, interesting ways. Apex kind of does the Overwatch thing, where they have lore bits that they use to introduce new characters and that they use to kind of connect the world. But I feel like Apex takes it a step further, where it seems like there's a narrative that is kind of lasting through the different seasons. And so, like, the ways in which they implement new characters and new story bits in the ways that kind of connects to other legends, I think is pretty cool, right? And so during our reacts for the season 4 animation that me, Yusef, Andy, and Belinda did, right, we kind of talked about how, yeah, like the Forge character that they originally revealed got killed by Revenant. And then at the end of that animation trailer, you see a girl whose dad just got killed by Revenant, and she's like over her dad's body, like angry, right? And for us, we're like I feel like for anybody watching that, you're like, okay, cool, that's like a cool animation. But I feel like for fans, you look at that and you're like,
she's gonna come back as like
she's gonna be like the season 5 or season 6 legend. Yeah.
That's
or like
pretty cool.
Forge might come back as like an undead legend.
Are you
like
upset
that
Forge isn't a thing?
No, because Forge was kind of underwhelming. And so like, and that's, and I think that's also a theory that they purposely revealed an underwhelming legend to make Revenant's reveal pop even more, right? Which for me worked.
Was Forge the one that looked like a 90s action figure?
Yes. Yeah, he looked kind of like Doomfist from Overwatch. Like, had a metal arm, like, strong, like, WWE-looking dude, who I think he might have actually been an MMA fighter because he's, like, he had melee combat. But if they come back with him as, like, a robot or something, right, maybe, like, him in robotics does something to him and they bring him back that way, like, that's going to be exciting.
That's
right?
Cool,
man. The way in which they have a consistent narrative that I feel like actually matters, you know, to what the story of the game is and what the reveals are and how they use that to kind of feed into quote-unquote, like, viral marketing or viral advertising, whatever you want to call it, I think is really cool, really well done, really exciting. And, like, I feel like those are some of the best skins I've seen in the game. Like, the skins in Apex have never blown me away, but these skins look great. They're more unique, and they pop more. Like, these robotic versions of the original Legends. And then new sniper looks cool. Like, I like that it seems like it's going – this season's going to change – things, yeah. Like, actually change things in the way that during that original dev stream I was like, okay, cool, this trailer has me in.
Hell yeah, man, that's exciting stuff.
Number three, Bungie is hiring an art director for a new game, and it's not Destiny. New game is not Destiny. This is by James O'Connor of GameSpot. Bungie is currently advertising for a new position as, in quote, incubation art director, one who would oversee art direction on a new IP. The job description outlines a game that sounds very different from previous Bungie titles like Destiny 2 and Halo. Quote, are you on a mission to create games that bond players together in deeply invested communities? The description opens. So far, so Destiny, but things change in the next lines. Quote, would you like to work on something comedic with lighthearted and whimsical characters? Bungie's games haven't historically been particularly funny or whimsical. And that's the article talking. Quote, as the incubation art director, you will define the look of a new Bungie IP and work on all aspects of art to guide a prototype on the path to production, end quote. The description continues. Quote, most importantly, you will work with a fun, dedicated, and passionate cross-discipline team devoted to making a new franchise at Bungie, end quote. A year ago, Bungie split from publisher Activision and has more control over its own future and what it will develop. Then it has since before the release of the original Halo in 2001. This job is asking for a candidate with serious credentials, too. They must have, quote, at least 5 years of game art production experience, including experience in an art leadership role, end quote, as well as proven track record of delivering clear and consistent visual feedback that elevates other artists' work. It's not too much of a surprise to see Bungie expanding beyond Destiny. Back in June 2018, a partnership with Chinese company NetEase saw Bungie being given $100 million to develop a non-Destiny game. So that's pretty exciting.
It is, man. A new Bungie IP is something I would be very interested in, especially lighthearted and whimsical. I feel like they could nail that. I know they haven't necessarily done it in the past, but I think that, especially when you look back to, you know, the original Halo games that Bungie worked on, like, there was just such a clear, consistent vision for those games, and I feel like they succeeded in making really interesting campaigns, in addition to, obviously, amazing multiplayer maps that multiplayer modes and maps that kind of built their own lore and kept people interested. And this is, like, before the ongoing kind of changing things like we're just talking about with Apex. Like, people have, like, memories tied to Halo maps in a very unique way, where the maps felt like characters.
Yeah.
And this is in a time before, you know, these hero-based and, like, legend-based shooters where it's, like, they have those unique characters. Mm-hmm. I feel like so many people, like, Blood Gulch, you know, Ascension, like, these maps mean a lot in the same way that, like, now when we're talking about the Apex maps, it's, like, people are going to remember what those maps were in Season 2 versus Season 6 or 20 or whatever the fuck it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
I think that taking that and, like, kind of, like, doubling down on the more fun aspects of it and, like, making it lighthearted is a very stark contrast to Destiny, and I'm in for that.
Do you feel like they're going to do something that is, like, a Legends or Heroes type of game? Because that's
probably
the way when I think of Bungie's pedigree and when I think of what they would do with something, you know, fun and, like, comedic or whatever, I think of something that is, like, you know, Overwatch or Bleeding Edge or something along the lines of giving characters more personality and making it more competitive, because I imagine they want Destiny to live as long as it can, right? Destiny 3 is probably a thing that's going to come someday.
Absolutely.
Or if not, like, Destiny 2, maybe they'll build on it for the actual 10 years. That was, like, the original promise of Destiny. And so I could see that going in perpetuity. So with that, I imagine whatever else they're working on has to be something that could live alongside Destiny. So they won't put out another Destiny while they're working on Destiny, which makes me think that maybe it's going to be something that is more competitive or something that is a different type of first-person shooter, if it is a first-person shooter.
Are you on a mission to create games that bond players together and deeply invest in communities? So it's like, you know, they still do want to, like, get that pie.
Yeah.
So I think that you're right in thinking that it is going to be in the vein of an Apex or a Overwatch. I think it'll be less bleeding edge, though. I imagine it will be a first-person shooter.
That's their pedigree.
I don't see them wanting to jump out of that too much, nor should they. I think that they have such tight mechanics for first-person shooters that you know, like, why wouldn't you stick with that?
Did you play much Destiny?
No, I tried, and I tried playing through the campaign and stuff. It's just like, that's not why I play.
Yeah, that makes sense. That
Bungie
makes
games.
Sense. What would you want, like, the Legends thing, or what would you want?
What I would want is a deep single-player campaign.
We ain't
getting that shit. You know what I mean? I'll be lucky if we get a campaign that you can actually enjoy just without all the other nuts and bolts. That's what I didn't really like about Destiny, is I feel like there is a campaign, but I feel like it pulls you out of it and tries to get you into the MMO stuff like too often that it felt like filler to me. And I get it. That's not the game they were designing. Totally cool. But I'd love to see that. I don't see them doing that. I don't see them investing that much in that, because, like, that's too big of an investment for the type of game that isn't going to get you that repeat success, repeat money. It's like Jedi Fallen Order recently, just like the sales numbers were out. It's like almost 10 million, which was, like, shocking to so many people.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's it. It's shocking that a single player game performs that well, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's Star Wars.
Jedi Fallen Order isn't going to continue to print money for the next however many years through microtransactions or whatever, because that's not the type of game it is. Mm-hmm. Whereas I could easily see them going the some sort of, like, hero shooter route.
Whatever this game is, it will have seasons.
Yeah, no,
that's,
for sure.
That's the thing.
It might have a battle pass.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, when I see if this game that they're hiring for is the NetEase game, right? Bungie being given $100 million to develop this game, right? NetEase, I believe, is known for more service-y type of games that can live on. And so we'll see what they're working on. I'm excited to see what it is, because Bungie, at this point, I have trust in them to make a good game, especially for them being separated from Activision.
Especially with the separation, man. This being their new thing, like, without that, totally.
Number four, Sony survey asks about PS4 remote play on Nintendo Switch. This is by Wesley Yinpool over at Eurogamer. A new Sony survey is asking PlayStation 4 owners whether they'd be keen on remote play on Nintendo Switch. The appropriately named Redditor, you read it here first.
Jesus Christ, give this man all the cookies, give him all the awards.
What a great username.
He did it, guys.
They revealed the details of the survey, which asks a raft of questions about remote play, as well as images of the questions. Remote play lets you stream your PS4 games to a raft of devices, including a PS Vita, PC, or smartphone, that are also connected to your broadband network. There's DualShock 4 wireless controller support, too. The headline in question is, quote, ability to PS4 remote play on more devices, e.g. able to play on Nintendo Switch, Apple TV, or Android TV. The user then selects how appealing they'd find that, choosing from five options. Meanwhile, other questions posed by the survey suggest Sony is thinking about allowing remote play on a device that's not connected to the internet, allowing remote play without a PS4 connected to the internet, enabling access to PS1 and PS2 games, releasing a slim/portable DualShock controller that's easier to carry on the go, and letting you connect other controllers such as Xbox One controller or mouse and keyboard. Of course, this is just a survey, and Sony may never action anything mentioned here, let alone release the Remote Play app on Nintendo Switch, but the survey does provide us with a snapshot of Sony's thinking on the future of Remote Play, and it sounds pretty interesting. And here I have, like, the screenshot, which, yeah, you see the questions, feature for, like, the first question, right, which you can respond, not at all appealing, not very appealing, somewhat appealing, very appealing, extremely appealing, right? The question is, feature for low-power mode to help control battery life for... or battery life of the device using PS4 remote play, ability to play PS4 remote play on more devices, this Nintendo Switch, Apple, whatever, and then the ability to adjust sensitivity on the on-screen controls, and it goes on. But Tim, how do you feel about the idea of one? Well, let me ask you this first. Do you feel like this is Sony actually looking into remote play on Nintendo Switch? And two, how do you feel about the idea of it?
I mean, I think that it is them looking into it in the lightest of ways. Like, these surveys happen all the time, and they rarely actually hint towards things that are
actually happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, or exactly. That are already in the works, at least.
They don't hint at things that are already in the works. They're being talked about for a reason of it's gauging interest on should they be in the works, right? Yeah. The other side of it is I don't think it's that interesting. It's just an app that lets you kind of use a service that already exists in other places with apps, and Nintendo Switch just happens to have apps as well, right? This reminds me a lot of Xbox One when it first was coming out, and there was all the talk of like, oh, it has the HDMI ports in the back, so you can hook your PlayStation into your Xbox and like, or Nintendo, and you could play Nintendo games on your Xbox.
Yeah.
It was just like, sure, that's a cute thing to kind of like say, but it really you're not actually doing that. Like it's, you know, it's the equivalent of just opening up a YouTube video of a PlayStation game and having a Xbox play and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's weird to see Crash Bandicoot on Xbox. That's not a good example, but.
That would be weird. But, I mean, in the sense that, like, yes, the HDMI thing, like, whatever. That's just you using technology. But in terms of a remote play app being on Switch, I feel like would be not shocking, but an interesting step for PlayStation, because PlayStation, I feel like, is the company right now, or like the big video games company right now that doesn't necessarily work too easily with the other guys. Like, you know, like we look back at E3 2018, where Fortnite was announced for Nintendo Switch, and then like, yeah, the week later we got the Xbox Nintendo Switch commercial of like play together and all that stuff. Right, and that was like the year that Sony was kind of the odd company out, and I feel like it's only recently that we've gotten Sony to kind of like lift up on, okay, yeah, crossplay is now going to be a thing now, okay, cool, like we'll start working with other companies in small, minute ways. I feel like remote play would be an actual step of like, okay, let's put one of our apps actually on Nintendo Switch and allow people to play PlayStation games on Switch. I feel like that would be not shocking, but at least a step toward a direction of this stuff not mattering, like walls coming down.
Yeah. I mean, it would be it's more a step than it would be not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also just don't think that it's you can have it on iOS, right? Like, I don't think that they're looking at it as like playing with the other guys. It's more just like it's an app. You know, like that's the difference. Whereas Game Pass, if Game Pass were to come to Switch, it would be more like that to me is a big deal, because that involves subscription-based gaming, where it's like, oh, people would be able to just play their Xbox titles on the Switch. Whereas with this, correct me if I'm wrong, PlayStation Now, the app, you would still need a PlayStation 4.
Yes. Actually, for PlayStation Now, no. Because PlayStation Now, you're just playing.
You could just subscribe to PlayStation Now and get the PlayStation Now games on Switch?
If there's a PlayStation Now app on Switch, then I believe you can just play them on Switch. Because I believe you're playing off of one of Sony's servers. Like remote play would actually you would need your own console for a remote play, because you're then playing off of your own PS4. But for PS Now, go to kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if I'm wrong about this. But I believe for PS Now
that makes sense. I was thinking about the remote play stuff. So
PS Now you can is available on PS4 and PC, but I don't know if that's PC remote play or if it's just available on PC.
Regardless, even if it is the PlayStation Now, like the actual, you just get the app and you can get the games and play it on the Switch, that is a much bigger deal, and I do understand that.
I still think, though, that
PlayStation Now is not at a point of what Game Pass is at and what Game Pass is promising with the first-party titles all coming to it and all that. I think that it could be a big win for Sony to get it on the Switch and then next-gen kind of revamp what the PlayStation Now service offers.
Yeah.
Greg Miller.
What's the question about PlayStation Now? Sorry, I was half listening while I get PS I Love You together.
If PlayStation Now, the app, was on a Nintendo Switch, what would that mean?
That would mean you'd have access to PlayStation Now and your Nintendo Switch to stream your games. I doubt you'd be able to download anything, but you'd be able to
do it. You wouldn't need a PS4 to then play those
100%
games.
Correct. Right now, if you use PlayStation Now on a PC, you are not using any PlayStation 4.
Gotcha.
It's the difference between remote play and xCloud. Where remote play, I need for PlayStation currently, I need to have a PlayStation at home that I'm going to connect to use my fucking shit. PlayStation Now is you're using a PlayStation in the cloud to play the stuff.
You just need a really good internet setup.
100%.
Especially for a Switch that like has like really bad like.
This is why I think honestly, in the terms of where PlayStation Now is at, I wouldn't be like this whole thing's cool. I'm sure we'll talk about hypotheticals on PS I Love You and stuff. It's a cool idea, but. I mean, like, when we started in on Peace Walker on PS I Love You, right? And I was like, oh, man, I forgot I was on PlayStation Now. I'll try that. And, like, one mission of that, and I was like, close but no cigar. I'm going to go back to using the PS3 rather than trying to stream this to my PS4. Now, again, with PlayStation 4, using PS Now for, you know, the games it can download and play locally, that's awesome. That's great.
That's,
what a cool
that's
service.
A different story, for sure.
Switch wouldn't I don't think would ever allow that or have that ability. I think it would strictly be what we're always talking about with xCloud, that if xCloud came to Nintendo Switch, you'd just be streaming it. You'd just be streaming this too.
Gotcha. Interesting. Michael Knight writes in and says, "Hello, KFGD hosts. PlayStation recently released a survey asking owners about their use of remote play. Questions were asked about whether users would use the service if it were available on the Switch or the Xbox One. Do you think Sony's intentions stop here at remote play, or could this lead to a PlayStation exclusive titles showing on the eShop or Microsoft Store? Thanks for all you do." Right now, no. I think there could be a future.
You already see them kind of like pushing towards that. Like maybe 4 years ago, there was like a lot of games coming out that were PlayStation exclusive, but there was also PC versions, right? Mm. Then now I think it's starting to work the other way, where it's Sony published games we're starting to see come to PlayStation or to PC. And I feel like the next step from that is Sony games showing up in other places, other consoles. I think that step is, I'll be shocked if we ever actually see that. I just don't think that the world is ready for that. Mm-hmm. And I think that next gen is going to really change things when it comes to how much weight's actually put on where you play your games. It's just more the fact that you're playing the games with subscription services and all that. But I don't know. Like, I think that PlayStation's business model seemingly still remains on exclusive titles to bring people consoles. In to sell the consoles, but then having the third party games be the thing that like keep people in the ecosystem.
Yeah.
And like you can't own that if you put your exclusives everywhere.
Yeah, and that's why I think that's where I'm kind of at when it comes to PlayStation, how they interact with other companies, because we've had this conversation now a lot this month as we were ramping up toward console reveals and what those might be and what the information there might be, right? And you know, Xbox seems like they're less so concerned about exclusives, you know, as evidenced by the whole story about Xbox Series X not having any generational exclusives, right? Being able to play your game, play whatever game either on the One or, say, if it is like a next gen game, you'll probably be able to play on the PS4 or PC also, right? There's not going to be a game that's only on the Xbox Series X. And so it seems like that's less of a Microsoft strategy. Nintendo is doing Nintendo's thing, and then PlayStation seems like they're sticking with their strategy that they've had.
I mean, with Nintendo or Microsoft and Nintendo, it's even interesting where it goes a step further, where Microsoft is now, there's multiple games that they have published on the Switch.
Yeah.
So we have Cuphead, we have Ori. You know?
Yeah. And I'm
like, at what point do we see Master Chief Collection being just, you could buy it on Switch?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that that's the craziest thing.
In regards to this, though, so I had a friend that also got this survey, and they were talking about how there are questions about being able to remote play without internet. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that's just Sony questions out
there?
They're
throwing shit out there just to see what do people care about? Like the backwards compatibility and all that stuff. It's like, these are all just features, and at some point, it's just you look at features as standard, and when things get taken away, you get upset about it. But it's like, we're just getting to a point with technology as a whole that like we are talking about nitty-gritty shit because everything's kind of locked in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't expect too much from a new phone. You know what the phone's going to be. You know, like, any feature you really want from an operating system on a phone is already in it. You know what I mean? And they're just going to add something, take it out just to make it seem like things are changing. But like, we're there. And I think game consoles are in a very similar place.
Man, technology is cool, man.
It is, dude.
Number five, rumor has it, Breath of the Wild 2 is a 2021 game, and the major Switch title this holiday season could have tires in it.
What the fuck?
This is from Liam Doolin of Nintendo Life. A few weeks ago, the prolific leaker Sabi, who has a strong track record, said a new Paper Mario game and 2D Metroid title would release this year. Just days ago, the same individual claimed The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel was taking longer than anticipated, and now they're saying the major and more likely Nintendo release for this holiday season has, quote, tires in it. Below are the most recent cryptic tweets by Sabi based on the source information. So I have the tweets here. in front of me. The first tweet is on January 31st, 2020. They say, got some good words for Paper Mario from another source. Now I have absolutely no skepticism. Be hype. Also got some more specific teases on the way. Won't say too much. And then he follows that tweet up with, Breath of the Wild 2 is taking longer than anticipated back during E3 2019, so it doesn't seem to be this year's holiday release, which adds more credence to the major title I was referencing on a tweet the other day. Neither are set in stone yet, so take some salt. The more likely one has tires. And so, listeners, take all this with a huge grain of salt.
The more likely one has tires. No quotes around it, no anything. So that's weird. Sabi is on my trust list when it comes to, like, if he says something, like, I'm like, I'm listening, you know? And again, all when it comes to all this stuff, until things are confirmed, anything can change. Anybody can, like, have heard misinformation or whatever. But he tends to not talk about stuff unless he at least has, like, multiple people being like, hey, this is what's going on.
What do you think tires means? I mean, the easy assumption is Mario Kart,
which I'd be extremely excited about. I just don't know if
it's time.
I feel like Mario Kart's time. I think Mario Kart's the easy answer, just because, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, but it's also their best selling, like, one of their best selling series, the kart series. You know,
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is still selling though.
Yeah, but that's like we were talking about this recently on our predictions for this year, I think it was. And we were talking about how, like, why would Nintendo put another Mario Kart out when 8's already selling so well? If they put another one out, they'll just have two games that sell well.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, like, that was a game that so many people, because it was so close to the Switch launching, where Switch launched, everyone was playing Breath of the Wild. That was kind of like the hardcore thing. But then I feel like it was the people that are less interested in, you know, like the person sitting next to you on the couch, you're like, I beat Breath of the Wild, and it's just like, hey, Gia, like, let's give Mario Kart a shot. You know, like, my friend Curran was like, hey, Shari, like, we're going to play Mario Kart. And she got hooked on Mario Kart. I feel like it's a good second win game for those type of gamers, as well as the hardcores that love, you know, games. And I think that the next Mario Kart will be a Nintendo Kart. Like, I think it'll still be called Mario Kart, but I think it'll be like Mario Kart Nintendo All-Stars Transform.
Yeah, or it has more like a Smash
Which would be
roster.
Awesome.
Which would be cool.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like, taking Deluxe out of it, right? We haven't had a new Mario Kart in 6 years. So,
yeah,
like,
I don't think you can take Deluxe out of it, though, because I feel like Deluxe, for them, matters. Like, Deluxe almost feels like a new Mario Kart game.
It's not, though.
It's not. It feels like it because they
like, changed the items and stuff. But, like,
yeah, but it plays,
there was new maps.
It plays the role
no
of
new
Mario
maps,
Kart, though. Like, it's selling like a new Mario Kart. It's
yes,
taking the
that's
place.
True.
Like, it's holding that place of a new Mario Kart.
That's true. But I also, you know, I've been playing that Mario Kart for now many years. Yeah.
That's few people, though.
I understand it's that. Yeah. I understand that. But even then, it's not that few people.
Yeah.
Like, Mario Kart 8 was, relatively speaking, a very high-selling game.
Yeah.
With
on the
Wii
U. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I just feel like, you're right, it does hold that place. They don't need to do this. But I also feel like there's no argument really to be made of they can't do it and it wouldn't work. Right. I think if they did it, it would work. And I think both would sell.
I just think it was one of those things where I feel like they could hold it for another year or two and have that be this, like, have that ride the rest of the Switch.
But imagine if they don't have anything else to put this
year.
That's
a good point.
Then it's like, well, fuck, we need something. I think, though, the Mario Kart's too easy of an answer.
Yeah.
I don't have any spicy thing to be like, this is what it is. He's hinted at something with this. He wouldn't say tires so weirdly here if there wasn't some type of connection. What could it be? Like, I don't know what else it could be involving tires. Is tires in the name, or is tires? Is it an Excite Bike? Is it like?
Ooh.
But, like, he's talking about it, about a major holiday release replacing Zelda. Like, there were so. No. Okay.
What was that moment? What was that moment?
I had a moment of F-Zero, but
they don't have tires.
There's no tires. I know, also, but that's my thing. Is I can see them doing some weird shit with F-Zero, and like. Because I feel tires is too on the nose to just be like, cars have tires.
An F-Zero that takes place in the present. F-2020.
F negative.
Panther was in the chat saying an F-Zero prequel.
Yeah.
Yo.
I mean, I honestly, I don't think that's what it is. But, like,
Darth Pickles writes in and says, "Happy Monday, Blessing and Tim. With the rumors that there will be a new Switch title holiday 2020 that will have tires, do you think that we'll get a new Mario Kart or something more unique? Personally, with all the former Xbox exclusive games coming to Switch, I hope to finally get Rare Replay. I would love to get to play Diddy Kong Racing, Banjo-Kazooie, and Jet Force Gemini like I did growing up with an N64. Man, Jet Force Gemini. Thanks for all you do, and congratulations on all the fundraising during the 12-hour stream." So, yeah.
Rare Replay is going to come to the Nintendo Switch at some point.
I hope so. I don't have I have faith, but I don't have all the faith. It's one of those things where there's so much going on in Rare Replay, license-wise, that I know they'd only really have to approach Microsoft, and Microsoft could probably greenlight all that stuff.
Rare Replay will come to it. I don't know if it's going to be the Rare Replay, but I feel like that... it must be being worked on.
I would
on.
Want a different version of Rare Replay if it's coming to the Switch. Like, yeah, like I would want to have DK64 and Diddy Kong Racing and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And Donkey Kong Country, dude. Let's just get fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Let's get crazy. Oh, yeah. Why is Donkey Kong Country Trilogy not on the Super Nintendo online thing?
That's a good point.
Wait, really?
Yeah. It's not. They've not been adding games to it regularly.
But like the games that they added, I mean, they started with such a strong library, and that trilogy not being there is such an obvious, like, weird. That's a weird omission.
And while we're on this train, put out Earthbound on it.
Yeah.
Where's Earthbound?
Come on, man. Figure it out. I don't know what this has to do with.
Yeah. Tires. Yeah. The Rare Replay, like, I think we'll get that. I don't think that, like, is really what is being led to being.
Yeah. I think they mentioned Rare Replay because of Diddy Kong Racing. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they're asking what are some games that we would want. Or do we think we'll get Mario Kart or something more unique? I think it would be something more unique.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tim, mm-hmm. I'm very excited for whatever the fall holiday Nintendo Switch huge title is. But that's so far away.
It is.
If I wanted to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
We're going long here, but I just really, really quick wanted to say.
Like, oh, yeah.
What the fuck is up with Nintendo right now, man? I like it. I like that we don't know.
It's scary. They're,
we're getting a direct this month.
They're working on shit. We know they're working on shit. What are they working on, man? This is the most exciting times when it's not real yet. And this year, right now, it's just hype.
This year is already probably one of the biggest years for video games.
Yeah.
And Nintendo, we don't know, which is really exciting. Before we get to out today, I want to tell you about our sponsors. Today, we're brought to you, Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Breaking news, this important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement. After more than 18 months of research and development, the Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago. And we are the first to confirm the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 manscaping trimmer is now available for purchase. This third-generation manscaped trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Tim and Greg both use Manscaped, and 2 out of 2 women agree. It's a smoother look for him.
And ladies and gentlemen, 2 out of 2. That's true. That is true. Yeah. Barrett, you're welcome to the club, right?
I haven't used it yet.
Okay, but I don't know if you realize. Was it 3.0? He got the 3.0,
baby. I got the
3.0.
I should have jumped on that.
Yeah.
Dang.
I'm very excited to try it out.
Yeah. Keep us updated.
I'll report to you on my balls very soon.
Yes.
I'm very excited to hear about that, Barrett. If you use the Lawnmower 2.0, it's an easy transition because it's the same replacement blade with a new and improved skin-safe technology. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. One of the coolest new features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. And let me tell you, I saw a video recently of the light. Don't ask me how I ended up on a Manscaped 3.0 video. A YouTuber I watched was demonstrating it, but showing it.
All right, bless.
But the light, the LED light is dope. Like, it looks really cool, and you can probably see more detail when you're. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand, show your motor off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, you are one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product, and I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours, get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use code GAMES. Your balls will thank you. We're also brought to you by Brooke Linen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care, and what better time than the new year to take care of yourself? You spend one-third of your life in sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? And this new year, it's time to get comfortable, like with new bedding, loungewear, towels, and more. Home of the internet's favorite sheets, Brooke Linen's got over 50,000 plus five-star reviews and counting. People here at Kinda Funny Studio have used Brooke Linen, and everyone agrees Brooke Linen is the way to go. They've moved beyond the bedroom to offer essentials for your bathroom, like towels, shower curtains, and bath mats, and even launched ultra-soft loungewear that makes you feel like you never left the bed. All luxury products without the luxury markup. Like softness, comfort, essentials to help you relax, Brooke Linen has it all. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to hit refresh in the new year. Go on and make yourself comfortable. Brooke Linen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping on all the new sheets when you use promo code GAMES only at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Brooke Linen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Lastly, we're brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends. Introducing Raid Shadow Legends. Raid is a mobile RPG done right. Not every RPG must be cartoony and cutesy. Enough with candy, rainbows, unicorns, and bright colors. Get real, raw, dark, epic, and awesome. Raid Shadow Legends will take you to the world of dark fantasy and realism. And now you can play Raid both on mobile and on your desktop. The game is cross-device, so you can play with the same user and switch between devices whenever you want and however you want it. The graphics are amazing in the PC version, and the game is super fast as well. Raid has all the features you'd expect from a brand new RPG title, like an amazing storyline, awesome 3D graphics, giant boss fights, PvP battles, and hundreds of champions to collect and customize. I never expected to get this level of performance out of a mobile game. Check out the amazing graphics and details on those champions, and in Raid, you have the ability to personally customize and choose the artifacts you design and design a unique mastery build for each one of them. And the best part, it is free to play. More than 15 million players worldwide have already downloaded the game, so go and click on the link in the description box and start playing. You'll not just enjoy one of the best mobile games of the moment, you'll also be supporting this show. So what are you waiting for? Download Raid via my link, patreon.me/kindoffunnygamesraid, which you'll also find in the description, and get a special package with 100,000 silver, 2 clan boss keys, 10 mystery shards, and the amazing champion, Adjudicator. This package will be available only for the next 30 days. Out today, we have Dawn of Fear for PS4, Dragon Fang, Dron's Mystery Dungeon for PC, Ash of God's Redemption for PS4, Rectum
for
PS4.
No. No. It's spelled. Do not name your game something that close to Rectum.
It's spelled R-E-K-N-U-M. Rectum.
God.
Rectum? Rectum.
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 Rectum. Or maybe it's Reckonum. Like you're Reckon them. Reckonum. Reckon. Please the Gods for Switch, Shadow Rain for PC, Black Butterfly for PC, Terramancer for PC, Space Elite Force 2 for PC, Jori for PC, Choco Pixel 2 for PC, Power Struggle for PC and Mac. And new dates for you, we have Grand Blue Fantasy Versus is releasing North America on March 3rd, 2020, and Sometimes Always Monsters is coming out for PC April 2nd, 2020. I had to like, it was at 4:20, so I was like, what is the fourth month of the year?
All right, here we got Rectum from John Dusoft SL.
Rated everyone.
Oh no.
This game doesn't look like a Rectum.
No.
Evil sorceress cursed the 5 sacred crystals.
Oh man. I don't have a read on this. I don't know how to feel about this.
I'm not into it. You can't see it because our screen's blocking it right now, but the bottom left, there's too much going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
In order to
defeat the sorceress.
All right. That's Requiem, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's a 2D.
I'm calling it now. Game. This is one of the game. This is the game you have to play for PSI
Love You. For PSI Love You?
Yeah.
I mean,
I choose the game right now. I'm not. This one's not looking favorable.
Then Greg's got to play it. Someone's got to play this game this week.
Requiem. Is it? I don't think it's out on PS4. I think it's only on a PC.
PSN game.
Oh, this is PSN. Sorry, I thought this was Steam. PlayStation Podcast. Right. Now it is time for reader mail. You can write to into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. Mark writes in and says, "Hey, I have a question. It's about Nintendo. They totally skipped a January Direct, and I feel like nobody is talking about it. How should we read into this? Are they waiting on Sony and PS5 and the PS5 reveal, or do they maybe don't have a lot to show? What do you guys think? Would love to hear Tim's view on this as well. Keep doing what you're doing. Your new patron, Mark."
Nintendo doesn't give a fuck about Sony and PlayStation reveals.
Yeah,
Microsoft stuff. Like, they're totally separate from that. There wasn't a Direct this January, which was weird, but not shocking. There hasn't been a January Direct, if I remember correctly, since the Switch launched. So it's been February.
Is that true?
I think so.
I feel like 2018 there was a January Direct, because I think that's where they revealed Celeste. It might have been like beginning of February, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, but the point that I'm making is it's not always January. It's usually January, February.
Like last year was
February. I do think maybe they don't have a lot to show. I think it's the proof's in the pudding. They don't have a lot to show for the first couple months of Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Normally they have a January like game and then a March game, like moving on through. We have Animal Crossing and that's pretty much it.
So it was a Direct Mini that they had.
April.
Yeah, that was like at the Switch launch. And then if you scroll up.
And I'll pull this up too. And then there was, let's see, where was the beginning of 2018?
They had Mini Direct. On the 11th, they had the Direct Mini.
So it wasn't until March 8th. Which was like a bunch of indie games. That was the major one there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
which,
man.
If I remember correctly,
that was Smash
Brothers. So there you go. Like, I maybe target early March as the.
Yeah, that was the Smash Brothers reveal. And then
it's been a while since we got a Direct, though, right? Like, that's not a focused one. Like, a general Nintendo Direct.
I mean,
Direct.
Dude, think about it. Like, Animal Crossing. That's what we know about.
Last year was February.
Yeah.
So, there you go. How about that?
How about that?
So, yeah, it's probably imminent, but not too imminent. Like, within the next month, we'll probably get one.
I think within the next 30 days, we will have it.
Yeah. What's your one prediction?
I don't know. Like this, it all ties together where it's like, I don't know where they're at right now.
I believe the Paper Mario thing.
Yeah, I believe a lot of that stuff. I'm just Mario Kart. Fuck it.
Man, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Depending on what it is, if it is Nintendo Kart, then I'm going to get excited. But if it's Mario Kart 9,
yeah,
I might be bummed.
Yeah. I mean, they might call it Mario Kart 9, but then like.
If it's just like Mario Kart 9, where it's like, oh, here's Mario Kart again with some new features, depending on what the features are. Like, if the features are, we're flying now.
Here we go. Mario Kart Double Dash 2.
Mario Kart Triple Dash.
There we go. Three people riding in a cart together.
Comrade Blue writes in and says, "Hi, Blessing Tim. With the hype as hell Fast 9 trailer being released and Crossroads coming in May with the movie, do you think the latter will serve as Fast 8.5 with major story beats to bridge the gap between the films, or its own self-contained thing? Thanks for y'all's hard work."
I don't know. I'm extremely excited for this stupid-ass game. I'm hoping that there is some actual lore stuff that feels consequential. I kind of doubt there will be. This definitely, especially now with like the timing of it being May for both of them, I think it is total cash in.
Yeah.
Just trying to make some licensing bullshit. There's very, very slim chance this is a good game. But I hope that it is a good Fast and Furious adventure. So I'm hoping we get some dumb shit in it.
Where do you think the game's going to take place?
I don't know. Like, we haven't seen enough to understand. So it being an 8.5 could make sense. We know that there's at least 2 years, 3 years between 8 and 9, because the kid was a baby at 8, and the kid is like handing Papa Vin some wrenches in 9, you know?
Yeah. Exciting stuff.
And very exciting stuff. Also excited. There's a rumor going around, and I don't believe it, because it's just too good
to be
true.
It's about to be
some bullshit. But the rumor is that Fast 10 is going to like end the saga.
What, really?
But there's going to be Fast 10 and then Fast 10 Part 2. Two.
What?
Yeah. Okay, please
that,
do it.
That would be great.
Please.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Now it's time to squad up. Madog Nick 96 from Massachusetts writes in and says, "Hello, Blessing and Tim. I'm very close to obtaining the Platinum Trophy in Samurai Showdown, and I need help. I need help with the Triumphant Teamwork Trophy, which only requires me to fight in an online team battle. Unfortunately, practically nobody plays this mode, so trying to obtain it by chance is astronomical. Any best friends willing to help me out would be much appreciated. I'm on the east coast of the U.S. and I'm usually online from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. my time. That's 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. West Coast, Best Coast. I enjoy playing fighting games, though I'm not particularly good, and I'll be jumping into the new season of Apex Legends as well." You sound like you sound like the homie, my dog Nick 96.
He is, man.
Thank you as always for all the amazing content you all crank out every day. My dog Nick 96's PSN is my dog Nick 96. MADOGNIK 96.
Get on it, man. Get him that trophy. He needs it.
He needs it. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Let's see here. We don't have too many, it looks like. Kebab says, "Blessing is incorrect. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is the Game of the Year Definitive Edition." I know that. I'm saying it's taking the place, like, spiritually. I'm not saying it's a new game. I'm saying...
in terms of consumers' minds.
In terms of consumerism and in terms of, like, the mind of Nintendo and their cadence of Mario Karts, I'm saying Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, timing-wise, could take the place of something like Mario Kart 9 and push 9 back, like another game.
Charles Jacobson says, "Less obvious tire game. Donkey Kong Country has tires." It does.
Oh, it does have tires.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I'd get hyped. But for the big fall game, maybe I... unless it's Donkey Kong 64 too.
Yeah, that's what... bless.
Mind melding.
No.
Dude.
Don't be stupid.
They won't literally call it like Donkey Kong 64 too.
Yeah, it'll be Donkey Kong 128.
But like another Donkey Kong 3D platformer. Tim.
No way.
Tim.
You will never see that.
You know
mark
what?
My
you
words.
Know when you said never. That last time is when I said SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom. And
you're
you
right.
know what? Fuck you, Tim.
You're right.
This year is made of dreams. Let's fucking go.
Hey, I'm not going to wake you up from your dreams, but just want to let you know there are other people's nightmares.
Charles J. says there's three core Nier games at the moment. Nier Gestalt and Nier Replicant are two different versions of the original, then Nier Automata.
Cool.
Lord of Pwn says there have been three Drakengard games. There have also been three Nier games. Okay, so yeah, the fourth thing could apply to Nier is what it's sounding like.
So there we go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there we go. That's all the you're
otherwise, wrong. We fucking nailed it.
Yeah, we nailed it. Good on us. Let's see. This week's hosts for KFGD are Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday is Greg and Tim. Thursday is Greg and Gary Witta. And Friday, it's Greg and me. Gamescast, we're recording live on Patreon this Wednesday at 2 p.m. The topic, the 30 most iconic Nintendo games.
We're going through every generation of consoles of Nintendo games up until the Switch.
Yeah.
Because the following week, we're going to do portable games. And I wanted to, there's not that many portable systems, so I was like, I'm going to add the Switch into that. Otherwise, the episodes would just be too lopsided. So
yeah.
NES, SNES, N64, GameCube, Wii U.
It's going to be a good time. It's going to be me, Tim, Fran, and Imran.
Hell yeah.
So get hype. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.